1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
It's Fall Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. In these troubled times, God is our living hope. Help us share that hope by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or pledge online at afr.net. And thanks for your partnership during Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman, and we thank you for listening. And Steve Jardaw joins us this hour.
Hey, how
you doing? Our newsman.
Hi.
How you doing, Brother Steve?
It's a great day today.
It is.
Nice and cool outside, sunny.
Yeah. Fall is here across most of America.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I'm just in a bad mood because my hockey team is...
Share-a-thon will do that to you.
I was complaining during the break, folks, about my hockey team.
Right.
Not doing anything during free agency.
We're trying to talk about eternal matters here, and you're worried about your hockey team and whether they make trades or not.
It's okay. We all get sidetracked every once in a while.
Yeah. That's right.
It's Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Steve, we thank you for joining us. If you'd like to join us on, as Ed calls it, that there internet, we're live video streaming from our studios here on Facebook and YouTube. We also have the American Family Radio app. So if you get out of range of one of our radio stations, then you can just download the app on your phone or your iPad or similar device. And listen anywhere in the world, clear as a bell, with your app. And thousands of people now are listening to AFR on the app in places that don't have one of our radio stations. And we do have 181 radio stations across the country. So we thank you for listening. Continue to be in prayer today for Amy Coney Barrett. She's the Supreme Court nominee of President Trump. She's appearing before the United States Senate. She's having to sit there today for 10 or 11 hours and take questions, one after another, many of them from the Democrats trying to get her to stumble or trip up or say something dumb. And she is, so there's a lot of pressure on Judge Barrett. And she's doing excellent so far, according to everybody I've talked to and I've read about. And we ask you to continue to pray for her. She is a sister in the Lord, and she's a very fine judge, and we hope that she will be confirmed. And it appears that she will be, but not before some of the liberal senators take their shots at her, however unfair it may be. And, you know, they can ask any question they want. Not all questions are unfair. It's just a lot of times the way that the Democrats frame the questions to her and are unfair, in my opinion. Like yesterday, they held up, the Democrats had posters of people's faces all behind them, and they were basically saying, if you're confirmed, Obamacare will be overturned and these people behind us will die. How do you feel about that, Judge Barrett?
Right.
That's what they wanted to say yesterday. I guess that plays to a certain crowd, but that's the kind of stuff I say is completely unfair. But Judge Barrett, I call her judge now, she'll be justice if she's confirmed, is holding up really, really well. In fact, Steve, you gave me a printout of a back and forth she had with Senator Cornyn from Texas.
Yeah, you were asking about whether she was using notes or not. Senator Cornyn noticed the same thing.
Yeah, Senator Cornyn from Texas said this. He said, "Most of us have multiple notebooks and notes and books and things that are in front of us. Can you hold up what you've been referring to in answering our questions?" To which Judge Barrett holds up a blank notebook.
Just a notepad.
A notepad, and Cornyn says, "Is there anything on it?" And Judge Barrett says, "The letterhead that says U.S. Senate." In other words, it's a notepad with no notes. She hasn't written any notes down. And she's just taking all comers with difficult legal questions that she's just...
This is a brilliant lady.
She's answering articulately and without any uhs and things of that nature that I do that annoy listeners. and they tell us about at our Facebook page. And they comment on the number of uhs I have. But she is just a brilliant woman, and God has blessed her.
You know what she is?
Yeah.
In those old Western movies, she's the gunslinger that comes in, and everyone thinks they can take her on, and they go out into the street, and she guns every one of them down because she's faster than everybody else.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
What movie are y'all quoting right there?
That's from Tombstone. The movie Tombstone.
Oh, Tombstone, okay. Yeah. All right, Jim Stanley, our general manager, is back in studio with more good news.
Yes, sir. So since we're coming into lunchtime, both in Central and Eastern time, it's time to kick off the brown bag special. Now, I'm here on behalf of my dear friend Ed Vitagliano.
That's right. Because I do not understand the brown bag special.
Who can't represent himself?
No, not in this instance.
With or without a pad.
He needs help.
All right, go.
So, I'm going to leave that alone. Move on.
Yeah.
Stay focused. So the brown bag special is simply this. During this challenge, anyone who calls in with a gift of any amount, be it $10 or $100,000, is going to have $100 added to their pledge. Now, that's...
What? Oh, that's easy.
That's what exactly. Yeah. See, I told you it was easy.
But now, here's the question I have.
Okay, please.
What if they pledge $30 a month? It's just... One $100 added.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And now we want you to make your best gift. Don't try.
Your
don't
best gift call, now.
Yeah, best
the bar
gift
from
now.
Joel Osteen.
That's right. Well, okay then.
Yeah.
Not the going
best
there
gift
either.
Now.
Not taking
stay
that
focused.
Bait. That's
stay
right.
Stay focused.
And so, but we would prefer you to give your best gift and not call back with $5, $10 gifts, because then that's kind of defeating the purpose.
Mm. Right.
So it'll be $100 added to your best gift.
So you're right. saying no shenanigans.
No shenanigans. No. Straightforward.
That's right.
Wow, that's awesome, man. So let's roll with this.
Let's go.
What do they need to
Brown
do?
Bag special.
Brown
so
bag
here's
special.
The number to call
uh-huh.
if you want to get what's in that there brown bag.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen,
here's the number,
Ed.
877-616-2396. Again, this is our fall share-a-thon. The theme is our living hope from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The number to call to give and get that $100 tacked onto your gift. 877-616-2396. Or you can go to afr.net and give online.
Walker, when the folks call that number, where are they calling?
They're calling Tupelo, Mississippi, our headquarters here. We have about 10 volunteers, phone volunteers out there answering the phones. So you'll get to speak to one of our volunteers here at our headquarters here in Tupelo.
They're volunteers. Many of them have driven to be with us and give of their time to answer our phones here in our share-a-thon. We're very thankful for that, for them. And then some of them, and you might talk to some of our staff who are also helping answer the phone here at American Family Radio. All right, Steve, what do you got?
Sometimes journalists surprise me. Not often, but mainstream journalists sometimes surprise me. I want you to listen to an interaction between CNN's Jake Tapper, you heard me right, CNN's Jake Tapper, and the Biden campaign deputy campaign manager, Kate Bedingfield. This was on CNN, and Kate Bedingfield was complaining about the unconstitutional process that the Republicans are doing with this nomination. Listen to Cut 7.
But he said it's not constitutional what they're doing. How is it not constitutional what they're doing?
His point is that the people have an opportunity to weigh in on this constitutional process through their vote. And we are now in the midst of the election. Millions of people have already cast their votes. And you see that the vast majority of people say that they want the person who wins the election on November 3rd to nominate the justice.
That's a poll. That's not the Constitution.
So by trying to by trying to, there's the constitutional process of advising consent. The American people get to have their say by voting for president, by voting for senators. We are now 23 days from the election.
Right, but it's not unconstitutional.
Millions of votes. Voters are being denied their constitutional right to have a say in this process.
They elected the Senate. That's not what the word constitutional means. Constitutional doesn't mean I like it or I don't like it. It means it's according to the U.S. Constitution. There's nothing unconstitutional about what the U.S. Senate is doing.
Late word that the White House Correspondents Association is revoking Jake Tapper's hard card.
That is extraordinary. Listen.
Good for him.
I want to say that is what journalists should be doing on whatever their beliefs. If they're on Fox News or if they're on CNN or MSNBC, that is what journalists should be doing to President Trump and Joe Biden. Good on Jake
Republicans
Tapper
and Democrats.
Once.
If they don't tell the truth, then you need to hold their feet to the fire. And Joe Biden did say that what President Trump was doing, appointing Justice Barrett, soon to be Justice Barrett, was unconstitutional, and that's just flat lie.
Yeah, it is. And he knows it.
Jake Tapper from CNN didn't let her get away with the non-answer.
Yeah, and when they say it's up to the people to elect the president and vote in the Senate, and then they get to pick the judge, and I agree with that. And in 2016, in 2016, the majority of the electorate chose Donald Trump for the White House. And then in 2018, the Republicans kept the U.S. Senate. And so they are the
until January. That's the way it is.
Yeah, they are the ruling party, and they get to nominate judges.
She said we have 23 days till the next election. Okay, fine, but that doesn't end President Trump's term.
Right,
his term continues until the inauguration of the next president or his inauguration in January. Yeah. And so that is another. That wasn't a lie. It is 23 days of the election. But she was implying that's all the time President Trump
I'm reminded of my grandmother's words to me one time. Quit whining.
Huh? And to think...
Quit whining.
For the Democrats to think that the Republicans, the Senate and the White House and President Trump... To think that they're going to go, you know what? We have 4 months until January or whatever, and 4 months when this first all began, until January, and we're going to let y'all pick the next Supreme Court justice.
Let me just put a little bit more, and then we'll go back to Steve. We'll let Steve chime in here eventually. Let me just put a little bit more of an insidious spin on this, all right? Because all this talk about it being unconstitutional. I don't believe Joe Biden may actually think it, but I don't think these Democratic strategists think it's unconstitutional. No, they are priming the pump for their packing the court scheme. And what they're going to say after the election, if Joe Biden wins, is they're going to say, Amy Coney Barrett, that was unconstitutional. So now we are going to change the number of seats on the Supreme Court so that we can respond to the unconstitutional move.
You know what I say to that? Go ahead. Go ahead, do that.
I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead. Go ahead and change the number. Change the rules of the game. Move the goalposts. Go ahead. Do that. And then when the Republicans take back over, then we'll go from 13 justices. They'll pack the court. Then they'll go up to 20. And then you come back and you pack the court. Maybe 10 years from now, we'll have 171 Supreme Court justices.
You'll be fine with that, right?
Yeah, you'll be good with that. How you like that, okay?
How do you like them apples?
Yeah, how you like them apples?
Ed, you seem to be assuming that Democrats would think they would need to have an excuse to do it. I don't think they will. I don't think they'll just do it without having to justify it.
You know what,
it.
Guys? Let me just say this. I know you're addressing that to Ed, but I don't. I'm not so sure that there are enough votes in the United States Senate to pack the court. I'm not saying the Democrats, a majority of them, don't want to do it. I'm just saying it's not as easy as just saying, I mean, you've got it. There's a process you got to go through. The general public will weigh in on this. And even if Joe Biden is elected, it's just, I'm just saying it's not a slam dunk, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, they're talking about it, they being the Democrats. But there are people like Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, and Joe Biden hadn't committed one way or another. Now, I think he's going to be in favor of it because that is packing the court, because that's the left is pushing him in that direction, and he won't commit not to being
right
or to being against packing the court. So I don't want to seem – I'm not naive here. I'm just telling you that it's not a slam dunk that this will take place.
They would have to take the Senate. They would have
that's
to win
number
the Senate.
One. Right. And that's not a for sure deal.
And that's not a for sure. It is going to be very close for the Republicans to hold the Senate, but they would have to take the Senate and obviously the White House, because you'd have to have somebody, I would guess, that would have to sign that law into effect.
And Joe Biden has gone on the record in the past, for what it's worth, saying he's against packing the court.
Okay? That was back in 1983.
Yeah, as it stands today, they don't have the Senate support. They do have some Senate support for packing the court, but there are a few holdouts on that. So, it's not as easy as they make it sound, but should they win the White House and the Senate, the pressure will be on from their base.
But Joe Biden even said about a year ago, I think, that if you try to pack the court, you'll rue that day.
Right. And it's because of what you just said. If once you go down that road and say it's okay to pack the court, if you don't like the way the court sits right now, then that worm will turn eventually.
Yeah.
And do you really want that to happen?
Yeah. The worm will turn. I've never heard that expression.
Oh, but it's famous.
Is it famous?
Famous in Italian households. That's all I can say.
As the worm turns.
Yeah.
You're listening to Charathon on American Family Radio. Our Living Hope is our theme, and Our Living Hope is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we exalt His name here on AFR each and every day. And
unashamedly.
Amen. So that is what we're promoting, is the Lord and the Bible and His ways, and we hope that that you share that with us, you share that vision with us, and you'll help us financially keep getting the word out across the country and around the world. Quite frankly, we have a lot of international listeners to AFR, a lot of military folks, a lot of missionaries on the field. They keep up with what's happening back home here by listening to our American Family Radio on our app. Ed, tell folks how they can give, and tell us what's going on with this
Brown Bag Special.
Brown Bag Special.
All right, I'm going to give the phone number, and then I'm going to explain the Brown Bag Special, and then I'm going to give the phone number again, folks, okay?
So you're going to sandwich it.
I like it. I'm going to sandwich the phone number.
Yeah, I just see
sandwich
what you did
the Brown
there.
Bag Special.
Yeah.
The number to call to give to our Fall Charathon is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Now, what is a Brown Bag Special? We had Jim Stanley, the general manager of American Family Radio, come in just a little while ago and explain it. A Brown Bag Special is that every gift that is given until 1 p.m. Central Time will have $100 added on. That is because of the generosity of one or a few, I don't know how many, givers gave money to challenge the rest of you. You like a good challenge? I think you do. So the Brown Bag Special is for every gift you give in the next hour and 40 minutes, $100 will be added to that gift. Now, here is the number to call. And then I'm going to tell you about, or Walker's going to tell you about our Fall Charathon Premium. 877-616-2396. That number to call, 877-616-2396. Now, Walker, what is our Fall Charathon? Let our listeners know.
Yes, our Fall Charathon is, you may give the premium?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the theme, as Ed mentioned, is Our Living Hope out of 1 Peter 1:3. And we have two different premiums here. And what the premium is, basically, is if you give a certain amount, then we'll send you these things. We'll send you these gifts. The first one is our Jesus, Our Living Hope Christmas button. If you give a one-time gift of $150 or more, we'll send you a 10-pack of those Christmas buttons. Also, if you give a monthly gift of $30 or more, we will send you the 10-pack of Christmas buttons, and we'll also send you Dr. Ray Pritchard's new book, Keep Believing, Finding God in Your Deepest Struggles. So some great incentives there to give to the Ministry of American Family Radio and American Family Association.
Steve?
One of my favorite weeks. You want the next story here?
Yes, sir.
We're doing?
Okay. Absolutely.
Let's talk about the COVID thing. The World Health Organization, which is the body across the world that seems to be setting policy, medical policy anyway, for the way to attack this virus, cannot seem to stick with one particular policy. They keep reversing themselves. Lately, in the last 3 or 4 days, they have reversed the policy on lockdowns, on how to deal with containing the virus within a community. And they're saying, well, the economic ramifications are we're seeing fewer cancer screenings. We're seeing fewer of these health checks, and people are going to die if we keep shutting down the community. So they can't seem to. They did this with masks. Masks, don't wear masks, do wear masks. And Brian Kilmeade this morning on Fox and Friends was last night on The Five was talking. It's frustrating to him, like it is to me. I want you to hear what he had to say about this. This is cut six.
The WHO tells us now lockdowns are bad. Are you kidding me? If anybody should have known how to handle a pandemic, they get up in the morning, that's what they do. Let's study a pandemic today. They had no idea what to tell us when it happened. We don't need a review. If anyone should have known what to do, it was them. It took us 2 months to tell us to wear masks every day. Now they're mad at us for not wearing masks every day because for 2 months you told us not to. It's as if I understand if it snuck up on us. But why did it snuck up on the experts? This is all they study. And that WHO who told us to slow down reopening to now say lockdowns are bad is beyond, I'm beyond aggravated by that.
Well, there you have it.
They just can't seem to figure out.
And why is that, Steve?
I got to tell you, Tim, I'm still not convinced that we have an understanding of the danger or lack of danger that this particular thing provides or is posing. You the mask thing, I kind of get it, but nobody wears them correctly. Have you watched any football and seen this little silly plexiglass divider between the announcers in the booth? Like a 4 foot plexiglass is going to keep an aerosol, virus away. There's so much virtue signaling going on. Just yesterday, 2 days ago, I heard from a listener who said, now I put this out there with a caveat that it's a friend. She says she knows people. I don't know this for certain, but she knows of 6 people in Tennessee who went down to get a COVID test, had to wait too long, left home for home before they got the test, and then a week later got a positive test result in the mail, never having taken the test.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening to
I've heard of
people.
A lot of that.
Steve, you are such a hater. Man, you just deny science left and right, even though the WHO is supposed to be filled with scientists and can't ever get their story straight.
It would help if they did. At least I know what to believe.
Yeah, Kilmeade, I understand his frustration, and I share it because, to his point, the WHO, this is like what they do. That's what they live for. That's what they get paid for. That's why the U.S. before this year was sending $500 million over to the WHO to fund all their scientists to keep us all safe. And then the pandemic comes, a coronavirus strain, which coronavirus in general has been around for however long, decades, if not hundreds of years. This is just a new strain. And then the world acts like we don't know what's happening. Like we've never seen a new strain of a certain virus. And so the signals we were getting were different. It was, we all need a lockdown and then nobody needs to wear a mask except for the doctors. And then everybody needs to wear a mask and the school should close, but then the school should open. So, who knows what to believe now?
Am I wrong for just feeling a little bit disgusted when I see a TV commercial with everybody wearing masks? I feel like I'll buy the product from the first company that decides they're going to do a TV commercial as if the world hadn't changed.
Well, and let me just say this. I know we're going to break here, but the fact of the matter is conservatives are frequently criticized for not following science, but science is oftentimes all over the place. Don't ever eat eggs. Okay, now you can't eat eggs. No, don't eat eggs because they're high in cholesterol. No, you can't eat eggs. And now the same thing's happened with the coronavirus. So excuse us for being a little skeptical next time science makes a claim. First of all, get your act straight.
I vote for what Ed said.
And then maybe we'll follow what you say with confidence.
Maybe these WHO scientists sit around and drink. And it causes their judgment to be, you know what I'm saying?
Cindy Lou Who.
Maybe they're playing poker. What do y'all think tonight? Everybody raise your hand on lockdown.
Hi, I'm Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word. During times of difficulty, we need hope. Real hope comes through a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. AFR is dedicated to sharing Jesus on every program. Whether it is Exploring the Word, Today's Issues, The Hamilton Corner, or any other program, we make much of Jesus. During this share-a-thon, you can make much of Jesus by making your contribution. Together, we shall share the hope that is in Jesus Christ.
Hunter Water from Texas. I wanted to say thank you, AFA, for all you guys do. You've given us great resources and strengthened us in our walk to be with Christ. Continue to do that, and may God continue to bless your ministry.
Jesus Christ, my living hope.
We're sharing our living hope during Fall Share-a-thon on AFR. Call now and make your pledge at 877-616-2396 or give online at afr.net. And thanks for partnering with us during Share-a-thon.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker and Steve, and we thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to join us online, go to afr.net or our app, AFR. Just download the American Family Radio app. It's our Share-a-thon in the fall here. We have two a year, 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall. The theme this fall is Our Living Hope. So we'll be here today, tomorrow, and Thursday with Share-a-thon. For those of you who normally hear Dr. Alistair Begg with his Bible teaching program, he will be back Friday with the show. But we have to sometimes, you know, break into the regular schedule twice a year at least.
Can you do this half hour in a Scottish accent just so people that are missing him?
You know, every time I try to do a Scottish accent, I always either slip into an Irish accent or a pirate.
I know. I go New Zealand. I sound like I'm from New
Zealand. I'm Sean Connery. Raise the black flag, mates.
Scottish. He's Scottish. Say it in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, that's getting pretty good.
I just don't talk.
Okay. So if you, you can probably get Dr. Begg. I don't know if he's in the middle of a series, but you can get Dr. Begg on his website if you want to. But we'll have him back on the AFR Friday, and then 6 months he'll be uninterrupted here.
Yeah, that's right.
On AFR. But we need to have the money to be able to operate the ministry.
And to put Dr. Alistair Begg on the radio.
Exactly. So we have to pay folks for our towers, for the land that our towers go on, the electricity, the engineers that keep our radio station on the air across America.
The insurance for those towers during storms and stuff. Wow.
Yes. The satellite time we have to pay for. We have staff, obviously, their families like to eat. And so there's just a lot that goes into operating a ministry like this. And so we, you know, like your church does, we have to pass the offering plate every once in a while.
Yeah, and we actually have a bigger operation than some people think. You know, some people think American Family Radio, you know, you got a couple hosts and some producers, but we actually have over 110 employees here at our Tupelo, here in Tupelo at our headquarters. So we have a big operation. Not only do we have American Family Radio, but we have departments like the AFA Journal. We have departments.
AFA Studios.
Yeah, American Family
our
Studios.
Our news department that Steve's a part of.
That's right. So we have our donor support department, our accounting department. So we've got a lot of different departments doing a lot of different things, all to keep the mission of AFA and AFR going.
So here's a phone number if you want to call and make a gift and be as generous as you can to help us. By the way, any gift to the top of the hour, is that right?
No, till 1 o'clock Central.
Is going to be $100 is added to that gift.
We call it a brown bag special.
Yeah, so Jim Stanley, our general manager, came in and said that's what we were doing. And so we're, so if you give $50, it's $100 and $150 right? So or more. So here's the phone number to call us and be as generous as you can with your gift, please. 877-616. It's important that you pause when you dial, just as I'm doing here. Again, I'll start over. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Or if you want to give online, go to AFR.net. Steve, next story.
This I'm going to draw a comparison here between a cultural event that we've been talking about and the elections. So you know that we tend to be more conservative here on this side of the pond than Europe is, for example, even though there are forces within this country that want to make us kind of a socialist, liberal, amoral country without the constraints of the Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic. Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos is baffled by the uproar over this child pornography film Cuties that Netflix is airing. And I say child pornography. The argument is that what's in this film is pornographic. But he says it played terrifically well in Europe without any controversy. He says, I'm a little surprised that in 2020 America we're having a discussion about censoring storytelling. The movie's just misunderstood. I tell you, folks, where we're going.
We're talking about the film called Cuties, which the Texas Attorney General, I think.
Yes. Well, a grand jury in Texas has indicted.
Texas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is accusing Netflix of promoting child pornography, which is illegal. It was a film that had 11-year-old girls, I think it was.
In that age range.
In sexually provocative dances.
Right.
And so forth and so on. And do what'd you say? Underage? Is that what
yes.
You said? Underage. So that's what this is about. But it aired on Netflix. And let me just tell you, for all the sanctimony of, what's the fellow's name at Netflix?
Ted Sarandos.
And he says what now? What's his?
He says that the film is misunderstood.
Yeah, but what's the other part about storytelling?
He says he's surprised that in 2020 America we're having a discussion about censoring storytelling.
Give me a break.
No.
Give me a break. If you had something racist
right.
or homophobic or anything like that.
They'd be censoring
storytelling. They'd be censoring storytelling, yeah. And this guy would be saying, we're not going to air that. Huh? So don't give me that stuff. That's not going to work.
Yeah, this film by Netflix is disgusting, and it shows, as Ed mentioned, underage girls, 10, 11-year-old girls, doing sexually explicit things and provocative things. So, yeah, Netflix ought to be ashamed for showing that garbage on their platform. And
it's all about money. And now, they probably lost a lot of customers over that. Don't you think? That's what I read.
And they lost a lot of people over 13 Reasons Why, which was a streaming series on Netflix for two or three seasons that glorified suicide,
yeah,
as well as all sorts of explicit sex amongst teenagers and violence. And this is the latest cause of people shutting off Netflix.
Yeah.
I've not seen, I want to make clear, I have not seen, none of us have watched it because of the subject matter, but
right.
We have relied on, I'm not sure if Monica Cole from 1 Million Moms has seen it, but we have relied on conservative Christian women who watched it.
Yeah.
And I have watched the trailer
and
the trailer was terrible.
I've never taken heroin, but I know it's bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point. Next story, Steve.
You guys played President Trump at his rally, recovering from COVID, playing Superman, saying he's going to go into the audience and kiss everybody. I see that was played last hour. There's a big marked difference between Trump rallies and Biden rallies. He was in Ohio, Joe Biden was, the other day, and kind of got a little confused about what he was running for and then how to get off the stage. Cut 9.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate. when I am running as a proud Democrat for vice president. I'm running as a proud Democrat for president. Visit iWill.com/Ohio. God protect. Thank you. Which way am I going?
What? This is a comedy skit.
Did he just say visit iowa.com/Ohio?
Yep.
Yes.
Did he say he was running for Senate?
He did, and then he corrected himself.
But he didn't stop to say, I meant to say.
No. He tried to make it sound like I was a proud Democrat when I ran for Senate, and then I was a proud Democrat and ran for vice president, now for president. In fact, let's play that again, because listener to listen for is he's clearly saying that he is now running for Senate, and then he caught himself.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate. When I am running as a proud Democrat for vice president, I'm running as a proud Democrat for president. Visit iWill.com/Ohio. God protect you. Thank you.
Is he
in a parking lot?
Does he take some kind of?
I'm looking that up.
Codeine or something? What is going on there?
/Ohio. See what this? It says this site has been blocked by the network administrator. It is not a secure site. Oh, I typed the wrong thing. All right,
here's a little bit of trivia. Did y'all know that Ted Cruz, when Joe Biden was first elected to the Senate in 1973, current U.S. Senator Ted Cruz was 2 years old.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz was 2 years old when Joe Biden was first in the Senate.
Let me tell you something. If you want to, you know, every American is free to vote for who they want to.
Right.
Right? I'm not. And you may say, well, Donald Trump's not fit either. But I'm just telling you, this fellow right here, Joe Biden, he's 80. No, he's 78 years old. He's not capable. He's not mentally capable of taking on the grueling day-to-day job of being president of the United States, commander-in-chief, leader of the free world. Now, you may say, well, I know that, but Kamala Harris can do it.
Right.
Okay, I'm fine. But I'm just saying, you need to understand. Well, all you got to do is listen to that. But that is, now he didn't do this during the debate. He was fine during the debate.
Right.
Well, relatively speaking, he didn't make any huge gaffes or say anything crazy or do what he did.
He's 77, by the way.
He's 77 years old. But you can't listen to this fella on a regular basis. And by the way, he hadn't been on the campaign trail. So he's not showing that he has the physical stamina either yet.
Right.
Yeah, he goes there and here and. He goes to Scranton a lot, you know.
By the way, he sent all the people who were listening to the Iowa Gazette. That's iowa.com. Gazette.
But I thought he said Ohio, Iowa in the same.
No, he said iowa.com/Ohio.
That's what I'm saying. What does Ohio have to do with anything?
He was in Ohio.
He was in.
That's where the rally was. It was in Ohio.
Well, then
what does Iowa have to do with
right.
it?
That's right.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, maybe he's going to Iowa.
Oh, can we hear that one more time?
Yeah, that's a keeper.
Let's hear
that. We have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate. When I am running as a proud Democrat for vice president, I'm running as a proud Democrat for president. Visit iWill.com/Ohio. God protect. Thank you.
What are those three cars honking? What is that?
I think it's just noisemakers to make it sound like that there's a big crowd, right?
You know what I think he meant to say? What you said. I think he meant to say, I ran as a proud Democrat when I ran for the Senate.
Right.
I ran as a proud Democrat when I ran for vice president, and I'm running as a proud Democrat for president. I think that's what he meant to say.
Or that's what the teleprompter probably was.
He said I am running as a proud
Democrat.
Correct himself. Anyway, I don't know. We're, you know, I don't, you know, I better stop.
Well, the argument. I'm reading a story about Elizabeth Warren saying back in July, we need new leaders, we need new voices, talking about electing Joe Biden in the White House. And Joe Biden's been at it in Congress and in the Senate and as the vice president for 47 years. So, you know, the Democrat Party claimed to be the party of new voices and new faces and new people and new ideas, but they elect people who've been in it for decades.
Yeah, Republicans do too sometimes. But let me just say this. I was reading a pretty in-depth article last night on this whole presidential race because you're going, people say, 56% of Americans say they're better off today than they were 4 years ago.
59%.
Oh, is it 59%? It's 59%. And that's usually the telltale for who's going to win a presidential election, whether right. the sitting president has that kind of approval or not. The president gets high marks on the economy. President Trump, I'm talking about. Here, I'm just going to talk about the elephant in the room for just a minute here. I don't want to belabor it or get into it because you can't change it. But the reason the president is not ahead in the polls, now please, people, as I always say, if you say to me, Tim, I don't believe the polls, I don't know why you do. Okay, I'm not going to argue about that. I'm just going to say the polls say, and I'm not going to say whether I believe the polls or
not.
And
that's not an inaccurate statement. That's what the polls say.
I'm saying the polls say that Joe Biden is ahead 6 to 8 to 10 points nationally. Some say higher, some say lower, few, but that he's winning and that he's going to win the presidency. Now, okay, so if you believe that or not, I don't know. But what I'm saying is here, this in-depth article on Byron York had something on it last night. That's where I got most of my information from, the Washington Examiner, is it's the president's persona. Right. A lot of people don't like the way he talks, the way he acts sometimes, the way he tweets. And that's if he didn't have – now, that cuts both ways. People want a leader. They want somebody who's in charge. They want somebody who's strong and independent-minded, and so forth and so on. And that's what the president projects. But it's some of the over-the-top stuff, Steve, that the president engages in that a lot of people are turned off by. And maybe they'll, in the end, say, well, okay, I don't like the way the president acts sometimes, but it's a choice between the far-left agenda and a man who tweets things I don't like sometimes.
Right.
So maybe people like that will tip to Trump instead of Biden.
And I do want to make the point, you were right, it's 56% in the poll that came out, I think it's a Gallup poll.
Of people who say they're better off today than they were 4 years ago.
Right.
So I don't...
That's still unusually
high. I just don't want people
high.
Writing me saying, well, okay, so you're going to choose a socialism over a president who acts inappropriately sometimes publicly or doesn't act presidential. I'm not saying that's a good thing. Or that's a legitimate thing. I'm just telling you that there are millions of people who say, I don't like the way he acts as president, and they're having to decide. Well, you know a lot of people personally like that, don't
yes.
you? Not here in this office necessarily.
No, they weren't here in this office. They were people who will probably vote. Well, I know. It's I'm not going to say who.
Yeah.
But they will vote for the president, but... Like,
they're conservative.
For example,
they're going to vote for the president probably.
But they did not like, for example, the debate performance last week. The interruptions. They didn't like that. Now, that means there are people who are undecided who might not vote for the president simply because of his persona. And again, we want to stress to people, we're not saying that that's good or that it's smart to do that. We're just saying
that's a reality
that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And you have to factor in.
I'm always confused by the growing number, well, at least as the press is reporting, of so-called supposed evangelicals or Christians who say they're not voting for President Trump and to vote for Joe Biden, because invariably it is about how he acts and that it's not presidential. And I don't understand someone that would trade a presidential, you know, actions and somebody like Joe Biden, who might be great to, you know, Uncle Joe, for the Democrat policies that they do. None of these Christians have talked about Trump policies or disagreed with any of them.
Well, listen, President Trump has his own personality, which is abrasive at times. But Joe Biden, he may say it a little nicer. The guy lies through his teeth on a regular basis. And I don't know
whether, regarding fracking, for example. When he said he was caught on camera telling that, I don't remember where he was campaigning, he said, I guarantee you I will end fracking. So he's lying to somebody. He's either lying to that voter or he's lying to the
America. And I'm talking about things like, I went to school at Delaware State.
Yeah.
And then it turns out he didn't go to college at Delaware. These things are, he got in trouble for plagiarism a couple different times. He says he was arrested going to see Nelson Mandela in South Africa. You had Andrew Young, the Democrat mayor of Atlanta, saying, I was with him. We didn't get arrested. I don't know where he gets that from.
He's also called one or two people, I know at least one reporter, a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
It was a girl.
It was a young lady.
Yeah. He called that to her face. So I'm just saying, and he calls President Trump a clown, worst president ever. This is during the debate. Says he's a liar. Called him a liar a couple times.
Says he lies all the time.
Yeah, so to act like Joe Biden's Mr. Nice Guy.
I'm just saying, Joe, no, don't give me that Biden is some kind of paragon of virtue that deserves the vote for that reason. So I know a lot of people, but it's a binary choice, right? We have to, all Americans have to say, is it Biden or Trump? You got to pick one because one of them is going to be the leader.
Right.
So,
and probably will, his coattails may very well tell us who wins the Senate.
So I don't like also people saying, how can you vote for if you are a so-and-so?
Right.
For instance, they'll say, how can you as a Christian vote for a man who's been married three times or who uses curse words sometimes or who, you know, whatever the case may be, is pompous.
Right.
They will say to us, or has so much pride. Well, you know what? If I could change things, I would say, I want a Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Acting. But guess what? Ronald Reagan was divorced too. And his wife participated in
seances or something. Yeah, wasn't it?
So, I mean, what I'm saying
or
is
astrology,
nobody is perfect. And when it comes right down to it, you have to choose between, you have two choices. So when you say to me, how can you as a Christian vote for Trump? I would say, well, how can you as a whatever vote for, how can you as a black person vote for a man who honored the KKK Grand Wizard?
Right. Robert Byrd.
Robert Byrd. Okay. So we can all
play. That was Joe Biden.
It was Joe Biden.
Right.
Who says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
At the end of the day, it comes down to who do you think is going to run the country better?
That's
who's going to do a better job running the country?
Bingo.
Yep. Yeah, so, here's the question.
So it's a two-person choice.
If the 101st Airborne is surrounded in Bastogne during World War II, do you want to send George Patton with the Third Army? And he was a cussing general. Okay. Do you want to send him to help relieve the trapped GIs?
Right.
Or do you want to wait until you can get Mr. Rogers to lead the Third Army? You want the best general or do you want the nicest general?
I know. Sometimes it comes down to that, the choices like that where we had it's a binary choice, as they say. All right, you're listening to today's issues on, how did we get off on that? What was Joe Biden saying he was going to slash Ohio or something like that?
Ohio.com/Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to remember that for a long
time.
Okay,
that was classic there. And if Joe Biden is elected, and if he is elected, there'll be more hit.
It'll be KTEL Records with the
greatest hits. Every day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve, for bringing that in.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Steve. Good.
It's what I do.
Ed's Reset Share-a-thon. That's what we're doing here.
Yes, the theme of a share-a-thon.
And it's a binary choice for our listeners. Either they want to make a gift AFR or they don't.
That's
right. So they need to decide.
That's right. Yeah. It is our fall share-a-thon. Our theme is Our Living Hope from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read the verse. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We believe that. We speak that. We put preachers on who believe that. This is a Christian radio network, and three days in the fall and 3 days in the spring, we come to our listeners and ask you to give to keep us on the air. So this is our fall share-a-thon. The number to give is 877-616-2396. Now, for the next hour and 5 minutes, we have a brown bag special going on. And that means whatever you give, $100 will be added onto that. So the number to call if you want to give, and we do ask that you give your best gift, 877-616-2396, or you can go to AFR.net to give online.
Steve?
Put your money in a brown bag and leave it on the stoop behind the house.
You've watched too many 50s no, right? gangster movies.
That's right. You know, we've been watching football, and track and field has been kind of going all crazy with this whole transgender thing. Can men who think they're women run with real women or girls, as in Connecticut? Well, at least one world organization is starting to make some sense. The World Rugby Organization has banned biological males from their women's competition. They said, it is known that biological males whose puberty and development is influenced by androgens and testosterone are stronger by 25 to 50%, are 30% more powerful, 40% heavier, and 15% faster than biological females. That combination of mass, strength, power, and speed means that in direct physical contact, what they call cis women or real women in all these domains will be at significant risk of injury.
You mean you had men playing in women's rugby?
That's what they, well, that's what they wanted to do. That's what they were trying.
Where did you have this going on?
Rugby is
big
down.
I don't follow rugby.
Rugby is fairly big down under.
And it's big in the British Isles.
Yeah.
I know I taught on this in a Sunday school class at our church, was dealing with current issues, and I dealt with the transgender issue. And I brought a picture, an actual photograph of this big, beefy, muscle-bound rugby player with two girls literally hanging on to try to bring this guy down. And it was clear that these girls, in fact, the article I talked about was that referees, I don't know if they're called referees in rugby, I don't follow them either, Tim, but referees were quitting because girls were getting hurt trying to tackle or bring down these big guys. Some of them were getting broken collarbones, broken arms, because they were trying to play. So that is, I'm sure, what's driving this decision by this
That's
world
transphobic.
Rugby. Well, it may be, but if your daughter's playing against some middle linebacker who should be playing football, you don't want that.
Yeah. So that's the World Rugby Association has said no to men playing in the girls' rugby contest.
They have.
And we needed scientists to tell us that, right. That was crazy, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we got that cleared up. Yeah. Kind of like the WHO.
Yeah.
All right. We are just about out of time. Steve, we thank you for yours.
Been my pleasure.
And we thank our listeners for joining us these 2 hours. We're sorry to have to interrupt Dr. Alistair Begg's Bible teaching, but he'll be back Friday, and then he'll go uninterrupted for 6 months.
That's right.
Here on American Family Radio. But we have to let you know what our financial needs are, because we have to have money to stay on the air, basically, is what it comes down to. And we thank all of you who've given to AFR during Share-a-thon this morning, or maybe you mailed yours in prior to Share-a-thon, or you've called, whatever the case may be. If you've already given a donation, we thank you so, so very much. And if you haven't, please call and make a gift and be as generous as you can. Here's the phone number for AFR, 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. American Family Radio is on the internet at AFR.net. You can give that on that website as well. My thanks to Walker, Ed, Steve, Fred, and Brent Creeley, our producer. And Snooze is straight ahead, followed by Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's next up.
Faith, family, free.